Well, it is good to be here with you this morning, and good to have, well, my wife's here with her, and her parents are with us, and glad that they could join us today. And I know that as Andrew had made the choices for the hymns and the music today, it was great. And I would have to say that probably if we took a survey of favorite hymns, probably It Is Well With My Soul would probably be up there. In fact, that's my favorite hymn. And thank you, Andrew. You did good. But I'd like you this morning, we're going to be getting into a great passage of Scripture this morning. But I'd like you to be turning in your Bibles this morning to Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to be looking at verses 10 through 20 this morning, talking about the whole armor of God. And I do appreciate the privilege of being able to share with you this morning and bring God's word before you. And we come with great confidence that God's word has something for us every time we get together. Well, Paul writes to the church in Ephesus. He says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, and put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers, over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all that, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And praying at all times in the Spirit and with all supplication, to that end keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And also for me, that the words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." Well, probably within the last 2 weeks, I was in a conversation with my great-grandson, Nolan, about warfare. And really centered upon my father, who was a Marine during World War II. And he was going to be writing a paper, and so he wanted to get as much information from me as I could give him. And I told him, I said, a lot of the information I had was stuff that was printed up about my dad and the books I had. My dad was a part of the Raiders in the Marines. And so we were talking about that, about my dad's military service and all that was involved with that. He had fought many battles, Midway and Bougainville, and his last battle that he was involved with was Iwo Jima. And I got to thinking about that, you know. As the Marines landed on Iwo Jima, there was like 50,000 soldiers that landed on the beach. And they were supported by the Fifth Fleet, and for some time before that, the military, whether it was the Marines or the Naval, the bombardment of Iwo Jima, but it did little to keep that from being an intense battle because of how dug in the Japanese were on that island. And they fought with great desperation because we were getting closer and closer to Japan. And so it was a ferocious battle. And you can tell by the amount of casualties that were on that from that battle, 19,935 American servicemen were casualties, and only about 200 Japanese garrison were able to be taken alive. And so you can just imagine the ferocity of the battle that had taken place there. But my father survived the war. He was wounded there, hit by shrapnel from a mortar. But to me, the greatest, I guess, the miracle of that whole thing, and my dad's involvement and the other guys that were involved in that battle, is that these guys came back. My dad came back to raise 6 children. And to me, that's the most heroic thing, to go through all of that and yet come back and try to live a normal life and to raise 6 children. That's, to me, pretty heroic. But you know, as Christians, sooner or later, we're going to discover that the Christian life is a battleground, not a playground. And we are engaged in a battle, and we face an enemy who is much stronger than we are. And the Apostle Paul talks about that in Ephesians, that this conflict with Satan, the evil forces, in Ephesians chapter 6. And the things that we're going to be facing in battle, the Bible talks about, is the world, the flesh, and the devil. Now, the world, that refers to the system around us that is opposed to God, that caters to the whims and the fashions and the standards and the temperament of man. That's what we might consider the world. And then there is the flesh. That's that flesh, that part of us, you know, that really battles against the things of God and really opposes the work of God, even in our own lives. For the Christian, for those in Christ, God, Jesus Christ, came to empower us to work through the flesh that is upon us and to live out our faith in Him. And then we know that we're engaged in a battle with a great adversary, the devil. And the spoils of Satan desires to really attack our witness. He wants to steal and kill and destroy, as the scripture says. So the devil wants to neutralize our potential as citizens of God's kingdom. But you know what? We can have victory. We can have victory in Christ. And so Paul, in Ephesians chapter 6, recognizes the battle, and he recognizes the enemy, but he also says that we can be prepared for the battle. The first thing that I think we see in the scripture this morning is that we are facing a known enemy. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, and he talks about in verses 11 and 12, that we stand against the devil's schemes, or the devil's tactics. For our struggle isn't against flesh and blood, but against the powers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. We need to know who this enemy that we're facing. And the scripture gives us really a scout's view of what we're facing. God tells us in His word to be aware of the enemy. Over and over, the Bible talks about these forces and this warfare that's going on. The enemy has different names. One is the devil. It talks about the devil in the scriptures, which means accuser. And we know that Satan, part of his tactics, is that to bring up things from our past, to maybe bring up the things that we're struggling with, or maybe where we're weak in our lives, and he accuses God's people day and night, as scripture would say. He's also called Satan, which means adversary, meaning that we do have an enemy, one who is against us. He's the enemy of God, and he's the enemy of God's people. He's also called the tempter and the murderer and a liar. And he's compared to a lion in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, and a serpent in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. And all these names that go along with Satan, we recognize the handiwork of this enemy that we face, and all that he's involved with in the world. But the thing that we need to understand is that Satan is a created being. He is not almighty. He doesn't know everything. He doesn't know everything that's going on. He doesn't know completely God's purposes. Satan is a created being. Satan has a beginning. He's not infinite. He has limited knowledge. But he's also limited his activity and his ability. So Satan attempts to achieve his purposes with help. We know that the scripture tells us about the demonic forces, that he's not alone in his attacks upon us and the spiritual battle that we're facing. But God desires that every single one of us be able to be winners in this battle that we're facing. But we're not using conventional weapons. You know, we know that when battles are faced and in warfare, there's all kinds of weapons. There's grenade launchers. There's machine guns. There's bombs. But those aren't the kind of weapons that we use in this spiritual battle. So the Apostle Paul talks about our spiritual equipment. And so for a few moments, we're going to talk about the equipment that we have as believers. God provides spiritual armor. Scripture says that we are to put on the full armor of God so that we might be able to hold our ground, to stand firm in our faith. Talking about that victory can be ours. And the first thing he talks about is the belt of truth buckled around the waist. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in his mighty power. The belt is truth. Truth is so vital in the life of a believer. That's why we have a Savior to which we can come when we're struggling with sin in our life, and when there are things that we have failed, that we have one that we can come to, that we can bring our sin to, that we can repent of sin, that we can live in the truth for the glory of God. See, when we as Christians try to hide our sin from others and in fact try to fool ourselves in regard to the sin that's in our lives, it affects our spiritual life and our stability within the Lord. We're walking on dangerous ground. And we get nowhere when we try to live a lie as believers. But God has given us the belt of truth, the truth. He gives us that kind of life that we can live in the truth, that we can bring before him the things that are struggling with in our lives, and to live with truth, not to give the devil a foothold in our lives. Oftentimes it talks about in scriptures about giving the devil a foothold, unforgiveness, anger in our lives, causes the devil to have a beachhead in our life. And so we need to deal with those things in our life and live in truth. But he also talks about, Paul talks about in verse 14, is the breastplate of righteousness. One of the pieces of armor for a soldier was to have this sheets of metal, and oftentimes changed that covered the body from the neck down to the waist to protect them. We need to have that weapon of the breastplate of righteousness, because we already heard that Satan is the accuser. So what do we do in the midst of being accused by Satan because of that sin in our past life? And he accuses us, well, you can't do that. You know, you remember what you did in your life and what a mess your life has been. And we got to come to the realization that we're not resting in our own ability, in our own righteousness. What we're resting in is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He's why we can stand. Satan cannot accuse a godly believer. The life we live either fortifies us against Satan's attacks or makes it easier for him to have a beachhead in life. So we need to understand that we have the righteousness of Christ. It's through Christ, through his power. those things that we've laid before the throne of grace, that we can rest in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It gives us the strength to continue to move ahead. But something else the Apostle Paul talks about is the shoes of the gospel. A Roman soldier went into battle and he would have these shoes, these sandals, and it would have like a nail in the heel, so it would cause him to be able to stand. Because many times when a battle would be faced, the terrain was muddy and slick. And you can just imagine if you didn't have some kind of firm stability in your footing, that if you fell on your back or in your face or whatever, the advantage would be for the enemy. And so a soldier would have footing with to stand. And so what Paul says likens the gospel to being that sure footing in our life. The whatever circumstances we face, whatever situation we're in, that we're standing in the gospel of peace. That is a firm foundation. Whatever circumstances you find in, a lot of times, you know, we think of the gospel. We think, well, I remember the gospel. That's what I trusted in. The gospel is not just something that happened in the past. It's the reality that we live in today. We have the gospel in our life. We have the seed of the gospel that is continuing to grow in our life. It is the gospel of peace. It is the good news. It's never diminished, irregardless of the circumstances that we face in the world today. It doesn't change. The gospel doesn't change, and the power of the gospel doesn't change. You know, because he lives, you know, it is well with my soul. All those hymns continue to echo the reality of what we have in Christ, the promises that we have in him. Satan has declared war, but we've been called to be ambassadors of peace wherever we go. So it doesn't matter where we go, the gospel of peace is always with us. And then Paul, again, in their portion of scripture, talks about the shield of faith. For the ancient soldier, they had a shield. It was probably 4 foot by 2 foot. It was wooden and it would be covered with leather. And when they would go out in battle, they would pour water upon this leather. So when they went on a battle and you'd have an enemy shooting darts, arrows with fire, they would hit that shield and it would be extinguished. And not only that, any arrows, any spears that were aimed at these soldiers, they would be able to deflect them or catch them. Our faith is that shield of faith that Paul is talking about here. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God. For who would ever draw near to God must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And so we're talking about the reality of God and how real that is for our life. And that's the faith that we're to have in him. And when we're standing in him, we're standing in that God. And having the shield of faith, Satan can lie, he can blaspheme, we can face all kinds of ridicule for believing what we believe, but we can stand firm in the faith that has been given to us because of the reality of who we believe in, what we believe in. We can rest in him. The shield of faith protects us from sins that would otherwise flame up in our lives. And then another thing that the Apostle Paul talks about is the helmet of salvation. Now we know that even today, the helmets, we want our children when they're out on their bicycles, or even when you're riding on a motorcycle. I know a lot of people don't like to wear helmets when they ride on motorcycles, but I would think they keep the very, very most precious part of our body safe, a helmet. And a soldier would have a helmet protecting that vital part of our body. Salvation, The helmet of salvation refers to a mind that is controlled by God. Satan attempts to infiltrate our thought life. You know, intellect is very important. And Satan attempts to infiltrate our thought life, and our whatever affects our thought life affects our heart, affects the decisions that we make in our life, how we think. And how we think, when what we put in our mind is very, very important. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it might be one of those verses you need to jot down. Of course, it says there, keep your heart with all diligence, or guard your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. You realize that? The things that we allow into our life affect our life, affect our life decision and how we stand. It is very important what we allow into our life. And it's so easy today to allow so many different things because we have so many outlets to allow stuff into our life. And a lot of it's not true. And it affects our lives. I like that verse. I need to be reminded of it over and over again. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. The helmet of salvation. Salvation gives us the knowledge and the wisdom of God. But one final piece of armor that Paul talks about here is the sword of the Spirit. The word is an offensive weapon used for close fighting. The sword of the Word of God, it pierces our heart. It convicts our life. It makes a sharp tool for God to be able to work in our life. You know, you can rest on a lot of things. You can rest on your intellect and your knowledge and your career and money, but it's only the sword of the Spirit that can feed and heal our souls. The Word of God is what cuts apart the lives of Satan. And we need to recognize the importance and the vital importance of the Word of God in winning a battle against Satan. We battle against unbelief. We battle against the false promises of sin. We win by wielding the sword of the Spirit. Recently, I was reading a book by Erwin Lutzer, and he quoted Omar Bradley, which was a general in World War II. And this is what Omar Bradley says. He says that we set our course by the stars, not by the lights of each passing ship. Now that's a word that we need to hear today. We set our course by the stars, not by the lights of every passing ship. There's a lot of people with opinions, but the opinion that should matter the most to us is the Word of God. And standing on that, the truth of God's Word. There are a lot of lights out there that are pretty dim. And we need to be careful about putting into our lives God's Word, something that we can stand on, something that we could set the course of our life by. The Word of God is powerful. Years ago, I was fishing with my son in Alaska. We were going to go salmon fishing. And to get to the river that we were going to be fishing out of, we had to walk through a lot of terrain, and it was, you know, anytime you talk about salmon, you've got to talk about what else? Bears. Big bears. If you can imagine, I've got big hands. I saw some bear tracks, and the heel print, I could fit my hand in the heel print of a bear, so yes. They're very big, and they're very powerful. And so Doug, he had with him this pistol, but I don't know if you could call it a pistol. It was like Clint Eastwood, you know, that a big gun. And he was messing around. No cap gun, no water pistol, no Red River BB gun would fill the bill. You had to be equipped to go out in the area that we were if we came up against anything treacherous. The thing is, today we trivialize the Word of God. The truth, which is our offensive weapon. It is our sword as we go out into the world. As we face the bears of life. Water pistol's not going to work. A BB gun, the Red Ryder BB gun's not going to work. You can't, you know, putting a bear's eye out is not going to do it. It's going to make them, get them even more ticked off. We need to anchor our life in the truth of God's word. That's what truly wins battles. But there's one other aspect that's talked about in scriptures, the last part of that passage of scripture. And really, I think it's a part of the armor of God. It says, Paul encourages us, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me. Paul wanted prayer too. That the words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. We need a boldness today in what we're saying to the world around us and how we're living it out. Because one of the weapons that Satan's trying to use against us today is that we fear ridicule. We're caused to fear, you know, what people say about us. We'll be viewed as ignorant, you know. And yet we need to stand upon the Word of God, the truth of God. We need to pray that God would open up our mouth, that we could proclaim, like Paul, the mystery of the gospel. He says, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare boldly as I ought to speak. Prayer is vital. Corrie ten Boom, who her entire family was in prison because they were hiding Jews during World War II. And Corrie ten Boom, who was the only one in her family was able to be released from the prisoner of war camp, but she went through so much. And so what she has to say is vitally important to us today in regard to prayer. This is what Corrie ten Boom says. He says, the wonderful thing about praying is that you leave a world of not being able to do something and you enter God's realm where everything is possible. We can look at the things around us and we say, everything, that's so impossible. And we are in that realm, but when we bring things before with God, we enter into the realm where everything is possible because we serve a mighty God. So how are you fighting? Are you fighting? Sometimes we lay the weapons aside. Lay aside the armor of God. We need to pick it back up. We need to pick it back up. We need to dust off our Bibles and begin reading God's word and hiding in our hearts that we may not sin against God. The truth of God's word. There is a battle raging. And maybe you right now you feel like you're right in the middle of it. Whatever you're serving, whether it be in the workplace or whether it be in your school, in your neighborhood, how are you standing? Well, today, as we have a time of invitation, maybe you just need prayer in your life for the struggles that you're facing. Or maybe you're thinking, man, I need something in my life. I need something to hold on to. I need Jesus. So as we have a time of invitation this morning, and we've heard the challenge of God's word and the promise and the hope that's found in scriptures. And as we've sang about those things this morning, about the blood of Jesus and the fact that we can have peace with Christ, do you have that peace? Are you standing on firm ground? Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this time in which we can just be considering your work in our life. And Lord, we think about all your provisions for us. And I pray today that even as we've heard these words, Lord, that we might be diligent about putting on the armor. So that as we go out in the world, Lord, that we can be a victorious witness for you. Thank you, God, for your provision. Thank you, God, for all that we have through the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, we want to just give you all the praise and the honor and the glory today. And all that you want to do in each and every heart, even the hearts that are here today, to hear your word. May we be willing to take the step that you've called us to do. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.